Looks like the Padres have acquired Mike Clevinger from Cleveland. We'll talk about that a little bit later. Also, it looks like the NCAA has trademarked Battle in the Bubble. Isn't that interesting? It's now floating out there that the NCAA has trademarked Battle in the Bubble. We say hello and good morning to Teron Davenport. He covers the Titans for ESPN and ESPN.com. He's the NFL Nation reporter, also... You should check out his work talking with TD and, of course, and Nate on Friday nights as well. The debut of that was this past Friday night at 6 o'clock. Good stuff. You're going to make that appointment listening. Is there a real battle at the kicker position? How hairy is this thing getting for Greg Joseph?
I think it's getting very hairy. It's Afro type, to be honest with you, because, I mean, it's a daily competition. They're doing the best they can to create game-like situations, pressure-type situations, and they did it yesterday as far as situational. We're talking about 20 seconds and under, and they put them to the test, right, kicking 50-plus yards. And the one thing about Tucker McCann is this guy has a leg. Like, the ball booms off of his foot, but it's just a matter of him getting it to go in the right direction, and that's something he's continuing to work on.
So, Koskowski lives here. We know he kicked at Memphis. He now lives here. Hauschka, is that how you say his name, the former Buffalo kicker? Those two, yeah. Have they officially worked out with the Titans?
Well, according to Mike Vrabel, the reports don't get released until after the player has gone through the necessary testing to work out. So, I think it just kind of depends on who you talk to. From my understanding, they haven't worked out.
They have not.
Well, at least Goskowski, there's something in order to happen, but they're still going through the testing process. So that's my understanding.
Right now, if you were to slide your chips one to the right or to the left, you were sitting at a table in Vegas, would you slide it on Greg, okay, yes to the right, no to the left. Greg Joseph will be the kicker in Denver on Monday Night Football 2 weeks from today.
If it's between...
Just him alone. Yes or no? Which way are you sliding your chips?
I mean, there's a lot of variables that to factor in, so it's not really... I'll say yes.
Yes, okay.
Again, because if it's going between the two, yes. But, I mean, you have guys, you know, established guys in Goskowski and Steven Hauschka who could factor into that. So, you know, there's variables with that. I think that you have to consider the kickoff aspect as well, you know, being able to get those touchbacks, and that's something that Greg Joseph was able to do. So that's a factor as well.
So then if I said Tucker McCann, you would slide to no?
Correct.
Okay. And then other would be for now, no? So you think it's going to be Greg Joseph in Denver?
I think it's going to be Greg Joseph in Denver if they don't go look at signing other players. I mean, like, you're asking me a question that really I can't say yes for sure. You know, knowing that there's a strong option that they may sign an established player. Like, that's just not something that you know, I could legitimately do.
Yeah, I'm not asking for breaking news. I'm just asking your opinion. That's all. It's just an opinion. I know nobody knows. You're out
right,
there.
I know it's an opinion. I know it's an opinion, and that's what I'm saying. It's possible, but if they sign someone else, you know, if there's interest in Goskowski and Hauschka, obviously that's telling you that there's a chance that someone else may end up getting the job. Like, they want to give someone else a shot. So, you know, I can't definitively say, in my opinion, is this, because, I mean, it's just really hard to say that not knowing what they're going to do.
Why do you think they're getting cold feet on Greg Joseph? What's changed?
Pardon me?
Why do you think they're getting cold feet on Greg Joseph? What's changed?
Well, apparently they're not overly confident in what they've seen. And I think, well, obviously the Hoska situation, a guy in Tyler Bass, who I, before the draft from Georgia Southern, I said he was someone to watch out for. He beat Hoska out for the job in Buffalo. So now, you know, that's something else that has opened up to them. And Goskowski, I mean, let's face the facts. He is an established kicker, and he's out there. So I think, you know, having those other options, established options, I think that definitely has put a bit of a wrench in things just as far as, you know, the competition between those two.
Where do you think the backup quarterback battle is right now on the last day in August?
Yeah, I think it's going to be Trevor Siemian's job because of the experience perspective. I think also just because of, you know, the ability to put Woodside on the practice squad, and he will very likely pass through waivers and land on the practice squad. And then having that luxury of, okay, if something does happen, we have someone who's already been in the scheme and knows the scheme that we could just pull up off of our practice squad. I think that's really where it is. It's a good situation for Siemian because he has that edge as far as experience is concerned.
We're talking to Teron Davenport. Talking with TD is the podcast you can hear, of course, on 102.5 The Game. He covers the Titans for ESPN. Teron, it's hard to be a Mets fan. I so enjoyed the doubleheader sweep of the Yankees on Friday, only to have my heart ripped out yesterday, which even for the Mets was tough. Up 7-2 with two outs in the last inning and managed to lose the game and then lose the second game of the doubleheader also in extra innings. Ah, that was rough. But we've been through it, haven't we?
Yeah, they mess with my blood pressure, man. I'm a relatively healthy man, but I tell you, you know, those Mets, they don't contribute to it. I'll tell you that
much. Oh, man. Oh, man. Well, Teron, I want to ask you about what you saw last week. I thought it was – I mean, I really was moved by the way the team conducted themselves, starting with Kevin Byard and Ryan Tannehill, and then I thought Mike Vrabel handled the questions so well and eloquently and with the plan and the thought that the team put into how to handle their day off, that when they took the day off to think about other things rather than football. I thought that it was great because not only were they saying things, but they also put a plan of action in. I was really taken by that.
Yeah, for sure. I think it was really good that they developed a plan. The Zoom with a Titan idea is a great concept, and I think that'll be good. But then it just further gives that opportunity for them to have those conversations. You know, some of the players have actually been subject to maybe not as severe, you know, as what we're seeing in these times, but some form of it. And I think, you know, being able to share those experiences or even just how it's impacted decisions, like when Mike Vrabel said Jonathan Joseph spoke about the tinted windows on his son's car and why he didn't want his son to have those because of concerns for his safety. Whereas when Mike Vrabel had that same conversation with his sons, it was something he didn't think twice about. I think that is an example of the way, you know, there are two different sets of ideas and viewpoints when it comes to this world. And those are conversations that need to be had so those type of things come to light. And it's a way to develop understanding. And when you understand the struggle, the circumstance that someone is dealing with, it's a lot easier to try to find a solution, help find a solution. And I think that's what you're having here in the Titans locker room and in the building, period.
Teron, what do you think happens with Leonard Fournette? I've seen all these lists now of where he might end up. I guess there's a pretty good chance that somebody snaps up his existing contract on the waiver wire here. What do you think he's got left? I mean, if somebody uses him correctly, can he still be a first-rate running back in the league?
Yeah, he could still be a first-rate running back. And that contract that he has, there's no offset. So the Jaguars are on the hook for $4 million. Whatever he gets from another team is just icing on the cake. So that's definitely something to consider. But if you look at Fournette last year, he had a pretty productive year, almost 1,200 rushing yards. Obviously, the yards per carry was something that you would want to get up, but you still get a back that could be a downhill runner, a guy that could be a bell cow if you want to adapt to that, you know, that run-heavy scheme. You know, a team like Seattle would be perfect for him. I think the Redskins would be good for him. There's multiple options. You know, Chicago would be pretty good for him too. So there's options for him. It's just a matter of, you know, giving him that right opportunity and understanding what it is that you have and building around that as far as utilizing it in the right way.
We see so few teams, though, commit to the power back, kind of like the Titans have done and benefited from by going that way with Derrick Henry. There was one time where it looked like Leonard Fournette was one of those types. I wonder if he's not the featured guy that's going to get 300 carries, can he be a good role player on the right team too? That's because looking long term for him, you know, he may have to do that to be effective.
Well, I think that's why he's not in Jacksonville anymore, to be honest with you, because I don't feel like he could be a role player. He is a volume back. A good example, you watch the game in Jacksonville, the Titans and Jaguars game last year in Jacksonville. He was at like around 2.7 yards per carry, then he popped a 60-yarder. And it was just one of those things where they kept hammering and hammering and hammering, and then it popped. And now the stat sheet looked totally different, you know. And I don't think that he's one of those guys that could be effective with 10 to 15 carries. I think you need to give him that ball 15 to 20 times automatically to expect some type of impact.
We're talking to Teron Davenport. ESPN Titans NFL Nation reporter joins us every Monday here on the show. You were talking about some of the things that the players have brought up and, you know, what the Titans are trying to do, but specifically Kenny Vaccaro. I read the piece that you did on him and how he's not going to talk football this year. He's using his platform, and that to me is just another sign of why Kenny Vaccaro is not only a good football player, but an even better leader in the locker room.
Yeah, I mean, he really is. And I think understanding that there's something bigger than football and bigger than Kenny Vaccaro and bigger than the Tennessee Titans going on, I think that's really huge and mature on his part. And it's something that you have to respect. I know just in posting, you know, some of the comments that I've seen in regards to that article, you know, that I did, it's definitely not something that's received by everyone, and that's fine. I just think it's unfortunate that people have a difference as far as understanding or viewpoint and automatically think that it's this terrible deed that he's doing. I think people need to understand that Kenny Vaccaro, that the Tennessee Titans, that Mike Vrabel, that Ryan Tannehill, Kevin Byard, Derrick Henry, these are people, right? They're not just objects. Like, they're not just a nice car that's built for us to enjoy driving. It's their people. There's more than just an entertainment thing that they bring. And it's unfortunate that people take away from their actual human aspect and just think that these are 24 needs to be out there to entertain them. It's more than that. And I think it's unfortunate that people don't understand that.
Do you think Cody Hollister is making a pretty good case that he's going to make this team? I know you've talked about him before, and there's some other receivers that are, you know, trying to make it, but he's been around for the last couple of years. Do you think that his chances are going up?
I think he makes the roster, period. I don't think it's a matter of chances going up. I think he's solidified a roster spot. And I was, you know, initially saying Christian Wilkerson was a guy I felt strongly would make the roster, but I've just seen things kind of tail off over the last week and a half or so. And as they tailed off, they kind of peaked for Cody Hollister. You see him making plays, you know, in one-on-ones. He's made a lot of improvement as far as his route running is concerned. I had an issue with his ability to get in and out of his breaks, but he's showing that he worked on that this off season, and it's showing because, you know, you see him in one-on-ones, then you see him, and I'm talking about low red zone one-on-ones, so like 10-yard line in, so there's not much room there to operate. You have to be quick in and out of your breaks and more sudden with your routes, and he's doing that. He even had a touchdown in red zone, low red zone one-on-one, not one-on-ones, team period, the other day. So, yeah, he's definitely making his mark. I think he's the fifth receiver. You know, he's the guy that will probably, you know, occupy that Tajae Sharpe type of role. But I think, you know, he's behind Khalif Raymond.
So he's an example of a guy that was around last year, was on the practice squad, went through training camp. They've brought back Will Compton, the boy, who knows knows the defense. He's been around, wasn't here last year. Jeremy McNichols, who is a guy that you and I talked about quite a bit on Chase and TD through training camp. So we're kind of seeing a theme here of the guys that know the system, that have been through camps before. They seem to have a little bit of an edge right now compared to the young guys that are just coming in and didn't have the benefit of a normal offseason.
Well, I think it's bigger than that. I mean, the fact of the matter is you look at the running backs, right? None of the younger running backs stepped up. So they said, well, you know what? Let's give Kari Blassingame carries. Wait a minute, let's go and get Jeremy McNichols and get him in here. I think that's what it is. It's convenient for a McNichols, for a Will Compton, even for a Trevor Siemian to an extent because of his ties to Denver. I think it's convenient for those guys because they do somewhat know the system. In Compton and McNichols' case, they know it inside out. So it's allowed them to come in and have that impact. But they wouldn't have that opportunity if it wasn't for underachievements by the guys already here. I think that's something that you have to look at.
Talking with TD coming up Wednesday, Nate and TD Friday night. What's on tap for this week?
You know, we haven't really gone through and figured out. I'll tell you what's on tap, just thorough conversation, thorough football talk. I haven't really put together everything that we're doing this week. I've been working on an A.J. Brown and DK Metcalf post that, cool. You know, I've been working on for quite some time. So I put all my energy into that, but we'll figure it out. It'll definitely be Real Talk Radio as it always is.
Awesome. Appreciate the time as always, TD. We'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, for sure. You guys take it easy.
Teron Davenport, Titans, ESPN, NFL Nation reporter, and all of our training camp coverage is brought to you by OsteoStrong Nashville and Wyatt Johnson Ford. A lot to unpack there. We'll be back. Darren Donovan Chase, ESPN, 102.5 The Game.